and pray. And one of the sweet things about Sophia is that as she journeys into college, she's interested in pursuing ministry and her call on her life from God. And that makes my heart happy. So she's going to lead us in reading scripture.
All right. This is the word of the Lord. Philippians 1:18-24. I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but I will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know, for I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. This is the word of the Lord. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for gathering each and every one of us here in your sanctuary. I just thank you that we can gather and worship you and learn more about you. I pray for Megan right now that you'll just fill her with your Holy Spirit and fill us. Open our hearts and our minds to what we need to hear and what you have for us to hear. And just if we're distracted by anything, if we're feeling distant from you, I just pray that you'll center us and you'll bring us back to you. And that no matter what we're feeling, we know that you're present and that you're growing us and changing us and helping us learn more things about you. In your name, amen.
I don't know about you, but I have these moments sometimes that I call come to Jesus moments, where you get yourself in kind of a situation and you wonder, how did I get myself here? And you're kind of at your wit's end and you're wondering, am I really going to be able to get this done or finish this or reach the top or really push through this hard thing that I'm experiencing? Well, I had one of those moments yesterday. It's always lovely when they're fresh like that. I was encouraged, though. I know how it happened. I was encouraged by my friends that I could for sure make it up to the top of Nevada Falls. And let me tell you, after many switchbacks and going very slow and them in the distance, there was a point when I mentally didn't think it was going to happen. I sat down in the shade on a rock and drank some water, took some deep breaths, and had a come to Jesus moment, because I was at this realization that in my own strength, I was trying to trek up this mountain, and it wasn't going to happen. I didn't know how much further I had to go, and I was feeling pretty defeated. And so I'm having one of those, Jesus has been teaching me about living in his Spirit, and this passage especially. And so I'm praying and asking God to empower me by his Spirit, to have strength, to get my butt up and keep walking up the mountain. And the sweet part is, his Spirit came through and I got up and started walking. But I turned the corner and my friend is sitting at the top going, way to go, Megan, you made it. Yes, I was about 10 feet from the top, not knowing it. So, sometimes you just have to find that courage and the Holy Spirit to push through and do the things that you couldn't do in your own strength. What takes you courage to face? And who are the people you think are courageous? Who give you courage? Is it your mom? Your dad, your brother, your sister, your friends. Maybe it's someone in history that inspires you. Maybe it's even your favorite superhero. We have these people who show us courage. One of the people that I think of is Paul, who is the one who wrote this letter that we're reading today. And I always think of Paul as being courageous because he laid out his life fully to God. And so before we dive deeper into these particular passages, I want to think about and reflect on Paul's life. So Paul, who was he? He was someone who was a zealot, intelligent, a Pharisee, someone who knew God's word, but was not about Jesus, to the point of persecuting people who were. Until he has this dramatic encounter with the Lord, in which God changes his name from Saul to Paul, and he has this transformation that happens. And so the one who was once a zealot is now zealous for the Lord. The one who used to be the persecutor is now the persecuted and is in jail for the very thing that he was accusing others of doing. He's living this mission and purpose of calling out the truth of who Jesus is as the Messiah. Now, with this lens and knowing that his relationship with Jesus was everything to him, even in the midst of being imprisoned and suffering, he writes this letter to the church to encourage them in their faith. Philippians 1:18, and because of this I rejoice, yes, and I will continue to rejoice. Why is Paul rejoicing while he's imprisoned? Because he has a relationship with Jesus, he's encountered the change in his own life, and now he's witnessing how that gospel is changing the lives of others. Paul is celebrating the hope and the joy that is found in Christ. And even though he's suffering, he's giving praise to God because his relationship with God is at the center, and he's in utter adoration of him. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul is empowered to have courage through the prayers of his community, his brothers and sisters in Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. His heart's desire is for God to be known, and his whole self is laid out for the cause of Jesus. Because he knows that Jesus is the Messiah, the one who has freely offered himself, the risen one of God. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. On your own, I would like you to take a minute now and reflect on these questions. How would you put this verse, to live is Christ and to die is gain, in your own words? And what do these words mean to Paul as the passage comes to a crescendo? I invite you for the next minute, I know it may be a little scary, but to have courage and share what you have been thinking on these two questions with your neighbor. love hearing you guys process scripture, mostly because you guys like each other, and you're able to share what God is sharing with you and your heart and your spirit, which is a beautiful thing. I think this passage, often we hurry over this verse or we just skim through it because we've heard it. It's become familiar. But do we really know what it means? We put it on our t-shirts. We make little cutesy Instagram photos with it written, saying, surely this will be encouraging to somebody. But do we really internalize what this means? Paul is trying to express to live as Christ means that life has a purpose. Paul's labor is for the sake of Christ's kingdom and for God to be made known. Paul's hope is that the greatest act of love by God and Jesus Christ taking on the sins of the world may be shared among all people. That there may be change in people's lives as testimony is given to God's graciousness and His love. And that Paul, as he shares his story, relives this reception of God's love because he's reliving the grace that's been given to him. And to die is gain seems a little more straightforward. And that being with Jesus is all Paul is desiring at this moment. He's in prison, suffering, and he just wants to be with his Lord. And there's this deepening of faith that's happening as Paul comes to terms with what God is calling him to do. And so he continues, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, but is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. He's in this tension, this dilemma, pulling back and forth of wanting to be with God, but knowing that God is sovereign and he has a purpose right now for a life that's surrendered to what God has for him. And that actually is very beneficial for the people that Paul remains with them so that the truth of Christ may be known through testimony of what Paul has seen Christ do and what others continue to see Christ do. And so in the midst of remaining, he is praising God and rejoicing, even though there are seasons of oppression and hurt, confusion, division, and suffering. Paul is learning to leave it all out there, his whole body. All right, we can go home. Except that this series is called Heart of Worship. And I haven't mentioned the word worship once, so what does that have to do with this passage? And I'm so glad you asked. Why do we worship? Who do we worship and how do we worship? We worship as Paul did, in a response to something that God did and continues to do. His grace and love and mercy in our lives is abundance, and it's a free gift given to us in Christ. And so worshiping God requires first that we experience this abundance, that we receive God's love for ourselves first and share that love with other people. As we are in a surrendered state, adoring Christ, worship begins to shape our lives. We can begin the day-to-day journey of making Christ our treasure. Here, in that posture, there's a mindset change that can happen. It's kind of when I'm sitting up there on that rock, struggling to even go 10 more steps. But there was opportunity for a mindset change, and God met me in that moment. God met Paul in the moment in prison as he continues to write these letters to the church to encourage them. And God encounters you. Drawing on Tim Keller, worship is an act of ascribing ultimate value to something or someone in a way that engages your entire being. Attributing all value to Jesus. He was willing to surrender his whole body for the sake of Christ's cause, and he did not fear death or life. Paul desired for his relationship with God to define his whole being, and he would only want opportunities for other people to know Jesus. And so these present sufferings that he was facing, he knew that that would not be an eternal thing, and that eventually he would be freed from it. And so why do we worship? Why is Christ our treasure? Christ is worthy of our affection. Christ initiates relationship with us. Christ sustains us with courage and hope, even in the midst of the most challenging experiences. One of my favorite psalms, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard me cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. I see this in the way that Paul surrenders his life. He knew what it was like to be in the mud and the mire and to have Christ pick him up and put him on a rock. In the early church, Jesus is referred to as the cornerstone, our solid foundation in which we stand. God is faithful to his promises. God is the source of truth. God is the producer of light. God is the one who rescues. God is the one who heals. God is the one who removes my shame and my guilt, who restores my lonely heart, who heals my brokenness and hurts, and sets even my feet on solid ground. God makes himself known, and God invites me to participate with him in bringing his love and hope to others. We worship Christ because he is our greatest treasure, the most valuable gift, and the much anticipated Messiah. We worship in response to an invitation that's been made. Paul did not respond to Christ in complete surrender overnight, or by himself for that matter. He was not some superhuman hero, but a brother in Christ who had a heart for the local church. He was burdened that the church may know who Christ is fully, and that from that message of love, they would be compelled to share it with other people. And Paul was not alone. He found courage to make Christ his treasure through the prayers of believers and the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm here to tell you that worshiping God with our whole being is not about Autobots roll out, get the choppa, Avengers assemble, or I think I can. Having courage to make Christ your treasure does not come from your own strength or stamina. It's not some superhero task. You cannot worship in the midst of pain, strife, and suffering without the encouragement of community and the sustaining power of the Holy Spirit. You have to invite people on this journey, no matter how steep it is. In order to make Christ your treasure, we must do it as a community and with the help of the Holy Spirit. And with this courage, you can attribute to God his ultimate value. So how do we attribute value to God? We have courage to set things aside that often distract us from who God is. These are things that we surrender, such as our image, the way we look, our successes, our need for approval, or even our reputation, as Paul did. We surrender our need for comfort, avoiding anything and everything that may even remotely be unpleasant, even just for a moment. And we surrender our need to attain more things or nicer things. Also, our security. Paul was suffering in prison for a message of truth. Doesn't seem very safe. We have to surrender this desire to escape our own feelings or to withdraw from community when we're scared or dealing with something. But press into that and allow God to move through shaping our community by allowing us to be the hands and feet of Jesus to one another. Paul chose to remain for the benefit of the community, and he totally surrendered everything. His comfortability, his reputation, his freedom, his comfort, his fear, so that the name of Jesus would be honored and made known. So to the high school graduates, as you go through this transitional season into college, where does the living God meet you? My prayer is that you may receive God's love to the fullest, that you may know that you bear His image, that He created you uniquely for a purpose. And respond the invitation to join Him in participating in God's kingdom work. Dive deep into your relationship with God. And remember that you're not alone in this journey. When you surrender your life daily, you are receiving the grace of God new each day, being changed by your relationship with Him. An almighty God whose love never fails. Your strength for this exciting, joyful, lonely, confusing, and sometimes stressful days ahead comes from a community of believers and the Holy Spirit. This is why meeting in corporate worship is so crucial. Worship as a whole community allows opportunity for a mind shift of God's people, as the Holy Spirit moves in us and reveals to us what God treasures so that we can seek what God treasures together. I encourage those of you who are leaving town to find a church family quickly and to invest time into those relationships with believers so that you may continue to grow in your faith. And those who are staying in Fresno, come to church on Sunday. Find ways to serve alongside others here at First Press. There's lots of room over there for you if you want it. Go to the college group, lead Bible studies, ask hard questions, and press into them. Continue to wrestle with the tensions in life and learn to live in Christ at school, work, and in your relationships. People of God, the reality is that we all suffer. We all experience pain of some sort, through physical or mental ailments, grief of losing someone we love, or watching the people we love suffer. We are living in a state of a broken world. Yet, there is hope in Jesus Christ. He is our sustainer. He makes our labor fruitful. Jesus entered this broken and messy world and suffered on the cross for our sins so that we may know the living, just, and loving God. And He invited us to participate, to be active in bringing about God's kingdom reality of hope and love and peace and justice today. And as we find courage to share with others, I hope that they may know that Christ is your treasure above all else. Please join me in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for the ways that you continue to intersect with us, Lord, and how you initiate relationship and how you invite us. I am in awe of you and the ways that you continue to show your faithfulness to us, and pray that you may give us eyes to see you, Lord. Help shift our mindset to be one that's focused on you and your goodness and your grace, that we may share what you've done in our lives with others boldly, Lord, so that they may come to know you in a deep way as well. I pray that we may value this community of believers and that we may depend on your Holy Spirit in a new way, that making you our treasure becomes the focal point and the defining point of our whole life. We lift this time up to you. Amen.